Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we're already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 708, Barbarian.
The Barbarian.
Barbarian.
Conan.
Is what they should call it.
That's true.
Your mic's going to be recording those creaks during your intro.
Oh, sorry.
Want to redo it? Just adjust it and then.
They can hear a creak.
It's, okay. Yeah.
What do you think we're
a
high?
It's a haunt. They're in a creepy house.
Oh, it's part of the.
Creep.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks for ruining the motif I was creating.
We'll edit that in post.
No, we won't.
I know.
Nah.
So now I've got to go in and add creaks and post to make it more haunted.
Yes, correct.
Thank
yes,
you.
Correct.
Yeah, just well, like the chicken noise. This is the inception Tom, of the content.
I'm going to randomly call out for creaks.
Yeah, right, right.
I'm just going to be like, insert a creak here.
And a lightning strike.
Yes.
Maybe some rain on the window.
Now we can do virtual maracas, virtual Dan.
Oh,
we
my
can,
God.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Groans,
yes.
Maracas.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
This is Tom. And joining us once again is the inimitable Matt F. Bassler.
Hello.
Hi.
You know, I just realized we can't really bury the lead on video anymore. Like, they're going to see him sitting there and not talking. It's not the same as audio.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves as to how many people are actually watching these things.
At least maybe 100.
Should I do, like, a reveal where it's, like, a black, you know, the screen's black and I reveal it?
No, you should have Matt, like, come out of the darkness.
You should pixelate him like he's a mob witness in
or the
Dateline.
Backlit or whatever, so yeah.
You
can't
thought
see the
what?
Face.
Like a penis, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that too.
But that, okay.
I like to see where your mind went, though. That's interesting. So, where are we at? Oh, shameless plugs. Thank you.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Oh, I guess I should say YouTube.
Yeah.
Hey.
We're
there.
YouTube.com/RealSpoilers.
If you're not watching this, you could be. And if you are.
Do we get our vanity URL yet? No.
No. And I was looking at another channel. Someone has 6 million followers and they don't even have one. So I'm like, oh, God, how long has this system been broken?
They must not want one if they've got 6 million.
I guess that's kind of a flex. Like,
yeah.
I don't even need a vanity URL. You just search
what are you looking at? Mr. Beast?
That's what we're doing.
Oh, Mr. Really, Beast. Mr. Beast, 6 million subscribers?
I have no idea.
Are you kidding?
He's just like the only one that
he has like hundreds of millions
does he really?
Of subscribers. Yeah, 6 would be nothing.
Oh,
yeah.
All I know is that name pops up a lot on my YouTube searches.
What is that? I don't even know.
He's like this. I don't know. He has burgers.
It's like a guy.
I'm like a guy.
You are like a guy.
You
have your own burgers.
No. Well, but he like makes burgers.
He has a pop up. His claim to fame is that he gives away millions of dollars on each of his YouTube videos. So he'll give away a house. He'll give away a car. He'll have people compete in a faux Squid Game. He just started getting sponsors, and he would basically, instead of taking the money as payment and then doing a funny video, he would take all his sponsor money and give it away.
Yeah.
So he got more popular because people were winning money, and now he, you know, will give away a Lamborghini, give away a car. And like each video is super high production quality with, you know, sets for games, and you know, it's a really, he's just a huge YouTuber.
Okay.
It's like 600-700 pounds.
Yeah.
All I use YouTube for is looking up old music videos.
I do that a lot.
That's all I
do. Yep.
And watching reviews of RIPD, apparently.
Yeah, for some reason.
I'm sorry?
For some reason, for a brief period of time, we posted audio of YouTube, of Real Spoilers, with just a static image. And so we did it for the first 4 or 5 episodes and then stopped. And... And,
10, Tom, 10.
Sorry, 10. And for some reason, our review of RIPD, which doesn't even have the right audio.
It has the Lone Ranger audio.
Yeah. Has like 17,000 views.
Yeah, 17,000. Okay. So what? It is our most listened, technically our most listened to podcast ever is an episode of RIPD with the audio for our Lone Ranger review.
Yes.
Somebody must have just put that on loop.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
A bot got a hold of
us. Yeah, that's
something.
Exactly it, right?
Yeah. People I have no idea.
Should have advertised that on that one. Damn it.
I remember years ago at the arena, we had the Smothers Brothers coming. So, I mean, this is would have been like 2007 or something.
Okay.
And so I wanted to embed on our page just a clip of the Smothers Brothers. And there was a clip on them, I think it's from the Jack Benny Show, of doing my favorite routine of theirs. And so... But the person,
the one with George Siegel,
huh?
That's pretty good. When they sing the song with George Siegel.
Oh no, they're doing. What are they doing? It's about the there's a puma and the crevasse and yeah. Oh. So the person who had uploaded the video had disabled embedding because he's a and so so
there's that first door creak.
Yes, insert door creak here.
Oh, is it taking over?
Door creak is the new chicken clock. Yeah. Got to come up with a new League of Show Shares image, yeah. Matt Reedy. So I basically stole the video off of YouTube. You know, you can download,
right,
and then re-uploaded it.
Oh, Real Spoilers does not condone the actions of Tom O'Keefe.
Yes, we do.
I do. I totally condone the actions of Tom O'Keefe. I think I'm a genius. Actually, I don't like genius. I prefer visionary. So anyway.
Oh, much better.
I put it up there and then just completely forgot about it. And then like a year later, I get an email from YouTube.
Oh.
And no, they're like, do you want to turn on advertising?
Oh my God. Yours has become the more popular
and
video.
I was like, what? And I looked it up and it had like 500,000 views on YouTube.
That's so great, man.
So,
yeah, well done.
Yeah, and I was like, well, no, I'm not going to turn on advertising. Like, I didn't do that, so I've never turned on the advertising. But I did disable embedding. No, I did. I did.
What?
But, yeah. Yar what you eat. So, I don't even know what it, but it's funny, like, they were on, the Smothers Brothers popped up on The Simpsons, and so people started going to YouTube and typing in Smothers Brothers because the kids were like, what is a Smother Brother? And
that Kate
and so like, there's tons of comments of people were like, came here from The Simpsons. Mm. So. Anyway.
Should turn on ad revenue.
Yeah.
these different streams of revenue are important. You know?
Diversify your portfolio, right?
Yeah. Ooh. So anyway, speaking of League of Show Shares, you can find it on the Facebook, facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. If you want to share an episode, that's always appreciated. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include, but are not limited to, I have to say that for legal reasons.
Of course.
Librarian Cynthia, Chris Falls, Heather Sachs, Christopher Rex, Chris Magic Man, Chris Williams, the Chris Trifecta, Mike and Oscar, Chris, Nostalgia Cast, The Real Pete, Cinema Recall, Spoiler Piece Theater, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Dan Buffa, Dissect That Film, Colby Mack, Minorities Report, Matt Naglia, Binge Movies, Ronnie Castle, Invasion of the Remake, Feel and Film, Geek to Me Radio, and In Session Film. So thank you very much.
Did I hear Matt F. Basler on that?
No, of course you didn't. Aww. Yeah. What, did you? Have you shared an episode of the Matt F. Basler podcast?
Touché.
Yeah, there we go.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So
hey, I am a
fair.
Top fan on the Matt F. Basler page, and I am active
on
there. So,
You guys are spoiling movies. I can't even listen.
But now you're here.
He's sitting
now.
He's
don't
his,
tell me.
He had his fingers in his ears the whole time. Yeah. And then finally, don't forget, we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, most of which seems to feature Matt F. Bassett.
That's true. No, not most of it. I think about all of it.
And you help us out, and you help pay for things like video.
Mark. You did it, Matt.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't tell Matt he's going to take the camera.
One of these is mine.
I posted when we posted our first video episode last week. I said, and thank you to the patrons, because seriously, the money that we get from Patreon, as you know, has gone to, we upgraded our computer a couple years ago when ours crashed. We needed a better one. If we need a new mic, now these video features and the software to run it and all that, like that is because of you guys. So thank you for your support. And seriously, if you're considering it, or have in the past, I mean, it's $5 a month. You get all these bonus episodes. And seriously, it will help us add more features and keep the show going. So it's really cool of you guys to do that.
Well, it'll be in color soon.
Yeah, right.
And then 3D.
You won't have to crank 3D. Your laptop.
And yeah. I'll say, because they might listen today and go, I don't know. I'm really good on the Patreon.
Yeah, I mean, he phones it in here because it's free. Yeah. No, he knows these bastards didn't pay for anything.
I feel like I'm not even present, you know what I mean?
We feel the same way, so it's
I slept through a lot of this movie, but the Patreon, oh boy.
There's notes, you take notes.
I take notes.
That's true. A trailer that plays in the Patreon.
There is.
So
there's a theme song Joe stole from someone on YouTube.
I did.
You stole a theme
song. I haven't posted yet because I'm like, Joe, you cannot just take someone's YouTube theme song.
Yes, you can. It's like it's free use.
No, I know.
He's like, we put this on the Patreon. I said, no.
A friend of mine, he wanted the Smothers Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know the guy.
You just take it, you re-embed it, good to go.
It's fine.
Yeah, download it, you're fine.
Oh, I said, do you know any musicians who might be able to make the theme song for your Patreon?
And what did I say? No.
He said no.
Who's my co-host on the Patreon? A musician.
Yeah. The whole thing. Yeah.
I probably don't have. I don't got the time for that.
He's like, he's not doing that till the downloads hit Triptych.
Triptych. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Triptych Patreon. Could you imagine?
Nope. Whew. Sure can.
We might have 4K webcams if we had Triptych. That would be the day.
Welcome to Smell-O-Vision. Yeah. So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in to Barbarian.
I have waited a long time for this movie.
Really?
Yeah,
I hadn't heard about it until the buzz from the festival or whatever.
This was kicked around on like Fangoria would talk about it.
Still around?
But it's now like very like high-end magazine. And I say that with like, You can't buy it in stores.
It's expensive.
It is expensive. Mm-hmm. It's only like subscription based.
Right.
And they send it directly to you. Like it's not in stores. It's not.
Well, that's what a subscription is.
But I mean, like, you know, you could buy Fangoria in the store before.
Right.
Not anymore.
They used to sell it like at the comic book
store.
They had all the back issues.
It is not the case anymore.
It's a subscription, but you have to pick it up at those Amazon drop points that they keep asking you to pick up at. And you're like, no, put it
on my
front
house.
Door. Yeah. Like,
what are you doing?
Stop asking me about. Yes, I would like to drive to Walgreens to pick up my Amazon purchases.
Yeah.
Thank
not
you.
The way
especially
works.
When you're buying something that you could buy at Walgreens.
Right. Like, do you not understand the point of this?
Please ship my ibuprofen in 2 days to the Walgreens and I'll go pick it up.
To be fair, it's a fourth the price of Walgreens, so you'd still be coming out ahead.
Like, congratulations, Amazon. You've reinvented the Wells Fargo way.
Yeah, right.
You dopes.
But, it's been a while since it's been a while. Like, a legit horror film.
We literally reviewed a horror movie last week.
But like that that wasn't scary. There's nothing about that movie that's scary. This one had like
you've never adopted an orphan.
Well, what else would I adopt, Tom?
Yeah, no, wait a minute. Let's not get back into this. So you're saying not since the masterpiece that was Malignant has a horror movie gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got two here. We got that's
no,
I had
I think,
Matt on.
I think that there are horror films that are horror, you know, they're scary or they're trying to be scary, but they kind of tilt into like the thriller world.
Sure.
This one has can we spoil it now? Or should we wait till we start talking about it?
Just do it.
Yeah.
That has like a legit scary monster that you don't see coming, right? Like the way this trailer sets, the way this, even the first 30 minutes of this movie never tells you anything, which I appreciate with the trailers because I've only seen the ones, but I don't think that they tell you what the hook is of this movie. Other
were you
than,
guys able to all stay unspoiled from
I had no
what
idea
what the movie was about?
I just knew the general premise that like a double booked Airbnb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But and like a whole
and then
the basement.
Weird stuff in the basement.
But when the thing happens, I sat back in my seat and was like, holy shit.
Like the Skarsgård kill?
Yes.
Yeah.
When the monster comes out of the darkness, yeah. I that doesn't happen often where I scoot back and yeah. I was like, what is happening? And then in just like one of the best cold opens that I didn't know was a cold open until it happens. Right. Like that's to me that the whole Skarsgård Tess opening feels like a cold opening. Because the movie completely shifts to a different character.
Yeah, it does. I was just like, that's like 30 minutes into the movie. I don't know if I call that a cold open, but
I don't know what else to call. I mean, it is the opening
of
the movie.
But there's like tonal shifts.
Big time.
But when Justin Long shows up, that seems like a cold open. You know, like it like reboots. Like the film, it does it a few times. Like even when you get the flashback to the guy going to the store.
Oh, sure.
That to me felt like another kind of like, oh, now we're switching to a different story, a different character.
Right. And I saw it with a good, like a, I would say a better audience than I anticipated. Like they were involved and engaged.
That's what I wish I got. I saw it yesterday, but I saw it yesterday afternoon so I could get the movie in. And there were four other people in the theater. So I didn't get the hooting and hollering and yelling at the screen and the jumps. And I think this would be a fun movie to see with a participating audience.
Can I, and I'm just interesting to me, kind of circle back. You consider the mother to be a monster.
The mother in this movie or the mother from Mother?
The mother in this movie.
The one we're reviewing?
This movie Mother.
Yeah.
You consider her to be a monster.
The way that, yes.
She is the titular barbarian in your eyes. I mean, and you see no one else in this film. interesting to me.
It's also interesting you use the word titular, what happens later in this movie.
That's
true.
No, obviously
there's
is it Richard
stuff
Richard
in this movie.
Richard Brake? Is that his name? That's the guy, right? Because he was in Halloween 2. He took over for
the guy.
No one
so
look
that,
at my camera
okay.
real quick.
Okay.
I know
and
this.
I'm just getting it in like the
serial killer.
Richard Brake
abused woman. Yes. That's
well, okay,
a
so wait,
monster.
That's his. Granddaughter.
That's the daughter.
It's something like
granddaughter
that
or great granddaughter.
Okay. So I guess we could kind of do this chronologically. We get a throwback to the 80s where Richard Brake, who is also one of the creepiest looking men ever. Like, I think
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
He can. Yeah, right? I think he works he works a lot with Rob Zombie. He knows.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's built a career on it.
Yeah. Well, I think
he's calling Rob right now going, hey,
can you believe this?
Why do you work with me?
Whose role? He took somebody's role in Three from Hell. Was it Sid Haig's role? Did they switch him out for Sid Haig?
You're saying feel correct.
Thank you. Right? Because like Sid Haig died.
But he's in it, right?
In the very beginning. Yeah. But
then he comes in as like type of
he ends
person.
Up being like a brother that we didn't know. But
one of my favorite plot things in movies.
Yeah, by the way, here's the extra brother we didn't talk about for two movies.
But Curly's gold, how would they?
Of course. So Richard Brake plays this no-name character, but is obviously of the bad guy.
Frank.
Oh, is that really his name? Okay.
Yeah, because the neighbors do.
Oh, he does call him Frank.
He's
That's
a no-name character called Frank.
That we see twice, you know. He goes to the local store and he's like, you know, my wife's having a baby. It's a home birth. And the woman's like, oh, that's fantastic. But at the same time, you're like, well, this is not going to end well for somebody. I don't know who it is. He buys like plastic cloth and he buys diapers and he buys, you know, all of the makings of a serial killer.
Right.
Go kit.
He just needs lime.
Yeah, right. And a body.
Right.
And we see
I think you got to supply your own.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you can't pick one of those up at the local Publix.
It's like the things in the box that say does not like add your own. Yeah,
right. What about an orphanage?
Well, now you're creating a shared universe.
Fire.
Well,
does it go through all your entire house?
Yeah, that's how smoke detectors are supposed to work.
No, that's not how they work in my house.
You're in law enforcement.
There's one in each room with a battery.
Yeah, mine beeps like every 5 minutes or something.
That's carbon monoxide.
Well. It explains a lot, though.
Yeah. I'm glad we have video. If we die in a tragic house fire, at least we'll get the views.
Well, how would we upload it?
To automatically. Kevin's like,
oh, we're live streaming.
I got automatic. Yeah. I got to set this automatic upload in case of emergency.
No, someone will find it and it will, you know, it backs
Blair,
up to the
Blair
cloud.
Witch. Blair Witch it.
Yeah, Blair Witch it. Oh, I just got a good idea.
But
for
he I,
Kevin's gonna
kill
us all.
He pulls a. I think this is a this serial killer trick that Ted Bundy may have pulled, where he uses like a I work for the gas company. You know, the gal lets him in the house because of course, goes into the bathroom, opens the window. And then says, hey, you're good to go, which is obviously his way in later.
His work suit says Carlos on it, and his neighbor comes up and says, hey, Frank, whatever. I thought they were going to at least allude to the fact of, like,
not at
how
all.
Did the neighbor not notice no. He's wearing a jumpsuit? This is Carlos.
He was just rocking a jumpsuit.
It was the Carlos brand. What, the 80s, early 90s? I mean, yeah, I had a, that was all the rage, man. I had a, in the 90s, I had a gas station shirt that said Dave, you know?
Oh. Yes.
Dave's not here, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is what people did.
Okay,
there we go.
Well, he doesn't seem like the type to me to have an ironic jumpsuit.
That's what makes it even more ironic.
But 80s, I mean, he probably is just like, oh, man, Frank's probably killing people. That's none of my business. You know what?
I'm putting this moving sign out in the yard anyway.
Yeah.
I don't care.
He doesn't look like a Carlos, but if I ask, you know, the kids are so woke.
that's what they were saying in the 80s.
Yeah, Ike Burkholz, too, is the neighbor. He was a stand-up comedian.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute, what?
I think Ike Burkholz is is the neighbor.
No, he's not. No. I would recognize Ike Burkholz. He's great.
Yeah, he's not Ike
Burkholz. Oh, I thought that it was.
No.
Okay. So
I thought it was Ken Bone or whatever that guy's name was from the sweater guy from the 2016 elections. I thought that, like, that's what the guy looked like. I didn't think he looked like Ike Burkholz.
That's funny. So, yeah, so now we know the score with what we're dealing with in the 80s. So now we'll go back to the beginning.
Trickle down economics.
That's exactly right. Because it worked.
Oh, that's the time jump. They say, "Oh, the Reagan."
That's why we're all
rich now.
Radio. It says the Reagan.
That's how we know we're in the 80s. Is they're talking about Reagan on the radio, and Detroit has grass.
Right. There's people that actually live there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's pretty clever the way. I don't know if they used a real rundown neighborhood or if they did it with a soundstage or whatnot, but you get to see the neighborhood when it's green and lush and the houses are together. And if you start looking around when they first do the flashback, you can start to pick up, hey, they're on the same street. You know, this is where we are.
Oh, yeah.
I just like how they showed both time periods and they did a good job of recreating it.
Yeah. So our main character, Tess, shows up at this house.
Tess, played by Georgina Campbell.
Georgina Campbell, who I think is fantastic. She's great in this movie.
She's really good.
Yeah. She shows up at the house. You've seen the trailer. The house gets double booked with Pennywise because that's not creepy.
Now that is a Skarsgård.
Skarsgård. That is.
He's scary. He's not a Sarsgård.
That's, well, I don't think he is. I think he's just fine. Which one's this one?
That's Bill.
Bill Skarsgård. Thank you. And
I gotta come up with a new mnemonic device. Bill, I'm trying to think.
I will say this.
Bill looks ill in it.
Yep. We'll never use that again.
Okay. Carry on.
Bill looks ill.
I will say they do a pretty fantastic job of the bait and switch, right? Because
you think it's, I mean, he's the red herring.
He's
clearly
absolutely the red herring. He is.
They hired Bill Skarsgård.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's Pennywise. We know. And he never does anything super creepy.
No, he does the exact opposite, right? Like, and it's almost like he's overcorrecting.
Yes.
Right? Because he's like, oh, here's, you know, I'll sleep on the couch and I get that you think I'm a weirdo and here's my credit report.
Yeah, right.
I was waiting for the double-double switch. Like, you think like, oh, no, he's actually nice, but when he's too nice. I was waiting for her to be the killer.
I
thought that's where they were going.
I thought I was thinking that, too.
Because I'm like, okay, people are saying there's twists.
Yeah.
People are just, you know.
But then they were playing her as legit scared.
Confused.
I was just like, well, that doesn't make sense.
I was trying to figure out how, but you're right.
Yeah, but I had the same thought cross my mind. But
I'm
yeah,
like, how Malignant can, 2.
Yeah.
How can this movie twist? Like, how? Where is it going that's so
yeah.
crazy?
I know, you want it to happen so bad.
Malignant 2.
Come on.
That's
all you got to say.
Can I just, if they make a Malignant 2, And you don't have me on here for Malignant 2.
Well, now we can't, just on general principle. Yeah,
I understand.
We'll save it for your Patreon.
Series recap, we'll do it for the
Patreon. Yeah, we'll do the Patreon.
When they get to, like, the ninth one.
Yeah,
then
20 years.
Then we'll have you on then, because then you'll have to watch all of them over again.
Right. I would love every second of
we
it.
Record
vacation.
On, we record on Sundays. We'll let you know on Friday around 4.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
That is how
that's not a joke. That's it.
That's not totally true. All right, it's a little true.
Wednesday, but I think I was lucky enough to hear about Fast and the Furious.
I was like, I feel like I've given you enough heads up about
had a little lead in on that one.
It takes me a while to pick up. Matt messaged us like last weekend and said, hey, have you guys seen Barbarian? I really want to talk about it with someone. And then Thursday night, I go, oh, maybe we should invite him on the podcast. Like, it just clicked with me. Oh,
he's not good at picking up signals. He was a virgin until he was 24.
Yeah.
This is why.
I'm only 24 and a half right now.
Are you serious?
Yes, we started doing this podcast when he was 18. Yeah.
Man, you've grown up so fast. I'm so proud of you. That's pretty good.
It's like, nobody's going to believe you're 24. We've got video now.
Yeah, that's right. They have this interaction. Like we said, he's overcorrecting. But
or at least you think he is, right?
Like, yeah, but even in a real world situation,
it makes
sense.
You know, you're watching a horror movie,
correct?
And so you're
and you've
waiting.
Got a pretty famous horror villain at this point,
right?
Like,
you know?
they red herring it until the 30-minute end point when you see the villain of the movie.
They let you believe that Skarsgård is the bad guy until His face gets smashed in.
Well, they let you. Yeah, like you. It's a choice.
Even when he's pulling her and says,
"Hey,
let's go this
way." It's good, right? Right until the very end. So, real quick, we should just breeze through this. But so it's Tess is in town for a job interview.
Yes,
this guy is actually one of the co-founders of a jazz band, I think, or some kind of band,
like a collective,
of musicians.
Because people are moving to Detroit because it's so cheap to live there.
They're trying to revitalize the area.
You can get a house for next to nothing.
Yeah.
And so because so many have been abandoned.
Yeah. So he's trying to look for a new house that like this collective can live in and do their music. She's in town for the job interview. They double book the Airbnb, and then they have this interaction, which you don't know if he's a bad guy or not. Let me make you tea. Let's share this wine. He's kind of nervous.
And they have shared interests. Right, because she's interviewing for a job with a filmmaker who made a documentary about this jazz club,
about music in general.
And so he knows exactly who she is when she's pretty obscure.
At that point, I was like, "Well, that's even
it seems too perfect,
right?"
But that's so
and they start clicking like on a romantic level. Yeah. There's like an attraction. She's got this toxic boyfriend that she's leaving. He seems to be single for the most part.
The making the bed thing was cute, you know, with the duvet cover. Because I'm thinking like, oh my God, he's going to grab her and kill her. I'm waiting for him to be bad.
Yeah.
But he's really like in the sheet, like it looks like a ghost, like covered in the sheet.
He's like, no, you do it like this.
Now he's
and
like,
I got to tell you, that's how I do
see?
It.
And he says, come here and like get close. So you grab this or put the duvet in there. And so
that's how you grab women.
That's exactly. Is that not how you're supposed to do it?
Yeah, wait a minute. Is that how you make your bed or you got to clarify?
Do I?
Okay. So, you know, it's like a meet cute. I mean, he is charming. You know, he doesn't look like Pennywise. You know? He's a charming guy and they're having this meet cute and you're just waiting for him to then hit her over the head.
Right.
Whatever is going to happen. Or is she a bad guy? Whatever. It goes through this whole thing. She goes to her interview. She's in a sketchy part of this neighborhood.
But that's the best part about that is we don't know.
She shows up at nighttime.
Right. So you get that one street light, which again, red flag, but it's all dark, so you can't see anything.
Half of Detroit looks like that.
That's true.
Like, they were actually talking 10 years ago about giving people houses. They were because it costs so much to give services to the city police and fire that they were literally talking about taking people and being like, we're kicking you out of your home, and we're moving you into this new home so they could condense the population density so they don't – because it's like – a fire truck might have to go 4 blocks through nothingness to get to a house. So they were like, let's condense.
Which is kind of a theme in this.
Yeah.
Like that's, which I thought was really interesting.
But it is a great.
I didn't expect a little bit. And I don't know. The writer and director of this is from The Whitest Kids You Know. Do we know?
Oh, is he?
I didn't know that until Matt pointed it out.
Yeah. Zach Kreger.
Yeah. I had no idea. But do we know if he's from Detroit? Because I feel like this is kind of a commentary on Detroit in general.
Zach Cregger was born on the 1st of March, 1981, in Arlington, Virginia, USA.
Not at
all. Adjacent.
I get... Right. No, it's not.
Same country, though.
It is, same country. Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah. I think they may share a same letter.
I think the zip codes have the same number of digits.
Yeah, that's right.
The twist, though, of this, I agree with Joe, is great because you don't know what is going on. You're sitting there nervous for her. You think he's a killer. You're trying to figure this out. When's the other shoe going to drop? And then, no. I mean, they do a couple of head fakes where they go to bed. He's sleeping on the couch and she's in the bedroom. And then middle of the night, the door opens.
Right.
You hear some strange
sounds.
She
initially locks the door, right? Mm-hmm. And then she unlocks it to go outside to give him his wallet.
Yeah, I don't see her lock it again.
She does. They make a point of showing you that she does not lock it.
She goes to bed happy. They've had this meet cute. They've been talking all night. And so you see the door start to open. There's some weird noises. But he's out there in the distance having a nightmare on the couch. So
a
nightmare. I said it right.
You did.
I have not said that wrong in 7 years.
We literally had a conversation before you came in.
Mad about it.
Oh,
here in the bathroom.
The disappointment I'm feeling right now is extreme.
Can you put the robo word on there?
Oh, to make it bad? You guys pointed that out. I cried, and I never have said it the same way. So he's having a nightmare on the couch. And
still
she...
say Brolin, though.
Brolin.
Well, no, I Brolin. Say Brolin because that's correct. So he's having the nightmare, and there's another good jump scare where she like touches him, nothing, and then all of a sudden, you know, what the... What
which makes total sense. Gwendolyn hasn't figured it out yet to not do that. When she if I'm asleep, all the time. Just like, get off me, will you?
But your reaction is...
Oh, yeah, I'm terrible about it.
Yeah.
But sorry.
So this is another great, I think the way this movie is written and the way that the story progresses is so smart because you're sitting there on the edge of your seat waiting, again, like for the other shoe to drop. Who's the bad guy? When's he going to grab her? But it never happens. And like even here, you're waiting for, is he luring her in?
Right.
So he can, but then again, she wakes him up and he's like, what the F are you doing? Yeah. And she's like, I'm sorry. Like he's mad at her because she's the one doing the stuff that not on purpose, but so it just never happens. Right. And then she goes to her interview. Oh, she leaves the house and then we see the neighborhood. Like,
yes,
oh my
God.
I'm in this.
There's a note on the table where he's like, hey, I had to run. Please leave the key in the box. Then she walks outside. And yes, you're exactly right. It is desolate. Like there's nobody around.
And she
there's
showed
no
up. It's so dark. She couldn't see.
Right. So now we
and
get a pretty good look.
This house is really cute and cozy,
which is weird.
You
until
would
you get
well,
to the basement.
Someone bought cheap real estate and maybe even before the whole neighborhood was run down, but you know, someone bought it because it was a good deal and then redid it, but it does look like a modern, clean, nice Airbnb.
Because when she first pulls up, there's no lights on the street, but you see this house and you can see like the silhouettes of the homes.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, well, the neighborhood doesn't look awful.
Right.
Like,
it's smart. It's the way it's filmed is very smart.
When Skarsgård says, don't go back outside.
You were just thinking,
You know, he's like, have you seen this neighborhood? Like, it looks terrible.
And
don't
it's great
that.
Though, because you're thinking like, oh, they just know that area is bad. You don't know it's that bad. You're thinking, and you're thinking too, is he just again,
racist.
is he saying like, oh no, don't go in your car. Stay with me. Is he trying to trick her? You're so concerned with, is he the villain trying to abduct her or whatnot, that you're not actually even paying attention fully to those little clues of the area and all that. But so we see it. It's horrible. She goes to her job interview.
And I do like where she, you know, it looks like it goes well.
Yeah.
And then the gal's like, oh, where, you know, she's like, I've got an Airbnb in whatever town. She goes,
what?
Where?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, it's this nice little house. She's like, you're staying there, huh? And she was like, yeah, why? And she's like, oh, just please be careful.
And I like this is because
that's where the serial killer raises generations of inbreds.
I like
dumb. Why didn't you know that?
Yeah.
This is smart too because that woman that interviewed her may have been more forceful in being like, "No, we're getting you a better place. You can't stay there." But she says, "I have a roommate," so she doesn't know. Does she know the roommate?
Right.
Do they travel together? So it's vague enough to where the lady is not going to be like, no, 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 don't do that. Cause she's thinking, okay, she's got it handled. She's covering her bases. There's someone else there, but
there's a convention in town.
There's a convention.
Which I also think is great.
What can you
it's
do?
True though. Have you ever tried to go down Chicago, whatever. And there's a convention.
Do you read comments?
comments?
Comments on just
well, we don't. We have a channel with 100 views on it, so not quite yet.
Not your comment. No, no, no. Just like a movie comes out and you read like user reviews.
Oh, sure, yeah, sure. Yes, yes.
I try to avoid it, but yes, they do show.
So I'm addicted to I don't know things I dislike, I guess. And I get so people have been saying like, oh, these people behave so unnaturally and unrealistically.
In this movie?
Yeah. And I felt very much like you got a hard road to get this woman in a spooky basement, right?
Right.
And I thought they did a great job. And one of the things people said was she calls one hotel and the guy says there's a convention. She doesn't even try one more. And I'm sorry, that's not the movie I want to watch.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. She called one. It's booked. That's all the information I need to know.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. This person, I guess, wants 15, 20 phone calls.
Montage.
Yeah.
She's
like they're cut, like hard cutting to her like in different positions on the couch, calling, getting tired.
You know, this
of,
was an Ari Aster movie. They would have spent time calling those hotels.
I don't know what people.
I'm with you. I think the motivations were very believable.
Yeah.
She does everything she can, and it's very clever in the way it's written to where she's careful. Should I go into this house? No, I'm going to lock the door here. No.
Well, and the way she plays it, like when she goes down, she's always taking this next step against her better judgment.
Yes.
You can see that. She's always like, I shouldn't do this, but oh man, like she kind of almost guilts herself.
And it makes me feel like people have never like done anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, and obviously this movie does have a lot of like a woman's perspective on these things. And I think it handles it well, but certainly maybe I don't know exactly what that would be like.
But it felt believable the way she's hesitant with everything.
And we were out of town playing shows. I'm a musician. I
found that out, as a matter of fact.
When you rejected making a theme song.
Yeah.
Well, I was hurt. Yeah. And we booked some hotel on like Hotwire, you know, trying to, best deal. We don't care.
Yeah.
And we got there and like, there's like razor blades all over the trash can outside.
Oh my God.
The sheets have open sores.
What's that mean?
That's how bad it is.
That's how bad it is.
Wow.
There's still a stain in the bathtub from where they stole a hooker's kidney.
There were
someone's toothbrushes on the ground.
There were cigarette.
That's from this movie where I'm like, oh, it's gross. Why are you putting your toothbrush charging on the ground?
Yeah. That is nasty.
Wasn't it?
Right. Where someone had put multiple cigarettes on the edge of the bathtub and let them burn down.
Yeah. Why?
What is that for?
I don't know, but that's what was in this hotel we stayed in.
They didn't have HBO. They only had Cinemax.
Oh.
That doesn't sound that bad.
And we
the horror.
Post-midnight.
We got there at like 1 in the morning after a show or 2 in the morning, and we went
3 in the morning.
What can you do?
Yeah. And we that's true. What are you going to do?
Right.
And we slept in this horrible place
with your shoes on,
on top of the sheets. And it just like you get what was she gonna do?
Yeah,
the only thing she doesn't like that. But it is true.
We shouldn't even address this. It's not about the movie.
No,
does
no, no.
A good
but
job.
I'm thinking of like what's the next step? Right, going into the basement seems reasonable. You find the basement. Okay, like you check
it
out.
She went to the bathroom to get toilet paper.
The toilet paper.
Yeah,
it makes total sense.
She's got to poop.
And
well,
you don't go into every basement thinking there is a hidden room with a murder dungeon.
That's all I think about any basement.
Wow.
It's always a murder dungeon.
Yeah.
But I will say, when she starts pulling on the rope and the door opens, I was like,
when we bought this house and this basement was unfinished and the guy who finished the basement for you, like, what do you want it to look like? And I said, I want it to look like not a basement.
Yeah.
Like, here, go sit in this corner.
So no one would suspect your hidden room.
Yeah.
See, that's how. And this is a cute house.
Yeah, it was.
See, it doesn't feel like a basement.
Doesn't
here,
feel like
right?
a basement.
But no, I think we can go on the record as saying her motivations are very believable. I thought the way it's written,
I think so.
She does everything she can to avoid even staying in the house, but it's believable how he gets her to. He's charming, but then we find out he's really not a bad guy, and he
not
is
a
just
bad
being
guy
nice.
At all.
And then for
in our defense, it is a white guy.
That's true.
So like, it's
but yep,
it's reasonable that we would be suspicious.
In our other defense, the other white guy, awful person.
Touche.
There it is.
And so, yeah, she... So
but not a monster.
No, he's a monster.
You... The woman, the mother,
the
monster.
Physically deformed.
I'm just trying to see your perspective on things.
They're a team of monsters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a bad guy.
Maybe not a monster.
A monster.
He doesn't always make the best life choices.
Just because he's a bad guy doesn't mean he's a bad guy.
Right, right.
You know?
Joe has a
he's
very...
He's a guy who did a bad thing repeatedly for decades.
And
in the end, we're still talking about the old guy.
In the end, he... took responsibility.
Right.
And
he does. Totally.
God,
what are you going to do? This is like a weird like kind of remake of Don't Breathe. Like just because like when you watch Don't Breathe,
I don't remember a baster.
That's true. That's a good.
Gotta have a base checkup.
We don't know
about that, right? the cool movie with the hero,
yeah,
turkey, awesome guy.
Yeah, with a turkey baster
so
full of
weird.
Semen.
I've never
and
seen
then all
the
of
second,
a sudden he's the hero in part
I haven't
two.
Either.
Nothing about that appeals to me that I would want to watch that guy being the hero of the movie. I just
do they really. I've never seen part
yeah.
two. Do they really
yeah,
made
the
him
hero.
The hero.
He's the hero
good guy.
Oh,
wait,
the guy with the turkey baster.
Barbarian too.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Okay,
she comes back as the hero.
All right, so
the man, man is the barbarian.
Yes,
that's why I
he comes
that.
Back.
Matt, Joe has
thank
a very
you for picking up on that.
Joe has a very literal read on these movies.
That's true.
He's
yeah.
not reading so deep into
no,
the
no, no,
context.
No, no.
He's it's just all right. He saw a big, strong person killing people. That's the barbarian.
Yeah, that's the bad guy. Yeah.
All right, so hold on. So we gotta get through the first 30 minutes. So she comes back after the interview. She everything seems fine. She is going to the bathroom, needs toilet paper. Goes
or
to the
poop. We don't know.
We don't know. It's not important. So she goes down to the basement. You see the thinnest, like,
yeah,
office
one,
building.
One ply.
It's full rolls, but they look like about 7 squares.
But they're also
the
they also look like squished,
yeah.
which is just
mm-hmm.
the worst.
But they look like the cheapest, but, you know, yeah. rental property. It makes sense.
I do what you got to do.
So have I told you about my marketing thing of you call one ply toilet paper pick a ply?
Oh, there you go. There you go. See,
you
it's really
right
for
fold it up. However
it's for you.
Yeah.
yeah,
it doesn't matter. Yeah.
So
however many you need,
she goes down for the toilet paper. Door closes behind her. She's locked in. I'll tell you what. I'm breaking the door down. I'm paying the $73 to fix the door. But
however much you need.
Yeah. Because she bumps into the door, and you see it like
that
wobbling.
Is true.
I'm like,
but
later
not...
she's kicking that door.
I know
yeah.
later, but
yeah.
but when you see it the first time, I'm like, that door's
I'll tell you where she should have kicked.
Where
is in the middle. Okay. Not where the frame is, but like where the it almost looked like plywood.
Yeah,
yeah, like
the,
one of those 6-panel doors.
That's a hollow
yeah.
door.
Yeah.
That's not
so
one
I'm
of those fire doors.
Door. I'll tell you that right now.
But anyway, movie, we get it. So she's locked in there, and she goes down and just like killing time. She doesn't have her phone. She pulls a rope that's suspiciously in the wall, and then the hidden chamber opens.
That's right, and she is very smart about it. She can't see down the hallway.
I love it. It's the whole like
she takes like a mirror and like reflects
yeah.
the light down there.
And that's
there.
A time jump. Like she, at first she's just like
nope.
Yeah.
No,
she's killing time. She's like I got what am I going to do? Okay, maybe I'll see if there's something. Very smart. The ceiling light reflected in the mirror
right.
goes down the hallway. She eventually I'll tell you right now in this situation I am scared like
oh,
I don't want anything to do with this.
No.
Yeah. To her credit, like,
no.
she's pretty gutsy. And when we get to the next person that goes down the hallway, I'm like, and clearly you're supposed to read that as, like, just someone that's clueless.
And,
but anyway, I'm like, nope, not doing this.
Yeah.
So she goes down and she finds one of those, like, torture, like, someone's, like, a room.
It's
with
a torture room.
A bed, a bucket, and a camera, you
yeah.
know, where someone's being held.
Of all the things captured. You could find in that room, those are the last three I want to find.
Right. It's, so you know something creepy's going on. She's freaked out, but she really has nowhere
no.
to go.
So she goes back, right?
She goes back, and then something leads her down there again.
But how does she get back to the main room where she finds, where Skarsgård is walking up, and
Oh, yeah, she goes back, and then when he comes, she, like, bangs on the window. I can't get out. I
right.
found something creepy.
Oh, that's right.
But
that's
she's
right.
already found the secret door by then, because she's like, nope, I want nothing of this. She sees him approaching
she
the house.
She says nope, which I thought was, like, half the people in here were like, nope.
Yep. Yeah.
It's, like, that's pretty good.
She's banging on the window. He comes over, and he's like, what the F are you doing down there? And she's like, I've got
the key.
Yeah, and, she hands it to him through the window. They get open. He comes down. And this is where you start to suspect him again, because he's like, Hold on. You saw a torture room. It's a basement. You know,
right.
there's people store stuff. And clearly we've seen it, and she's okay to be, she's right to be freaking out.
I think she does find the second door here. I think she finds the second door because when he goes down there, he's gone.
Okay, yeah, that's right. What I thought,
so she must find that second. That's where she says nope. She sees the she okay. opens that second door that goes down.
Like you're going down in a cave goes, tour. There's nope, just like a
walks out.
Yeah, a tunnel that goes down right. into the darkness. But so anyway, so he's like just. Give me he downplays it. He's like, people store stuff, whatever. She's like, well, F you, I'm out of here.
Right.
He's, just give me 30 seconds. I just want to see it. I just wait for me. He goes down there. He does not come back.
Does not come back.
So and I'm like, God, this is so nerve-wracking because you're like, you just escaped. We don't know what's going to happen as an audience.
We should also say we think she is accosted by a homeless man who's like, when she comes back from the appointment, he's yelling at her like, hey girl, hey girl, hey girl, and she's
it's
like
a good scare.
Frantically trying to get into the door
and head
into
fake.
The door.
You think it's whatever the
or you just think it's a guy in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know,
but you're led to believe it's like whatever the threat is gonna be of this movie, it's maybe
a little Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. So
either way, he gets in the basement, she's calling for him and he doesn't answer.
Oh, that's the thing I was gonna say. I don't know about you guys, but what's this guy's name? Keith?
Yeah.
Keith that I just met. Sorry, Keith. You disappeared into that tunnel. I'm all for helping people and whatever, but like.
I'm going to go get help.
Yeah,
That's right.
She
tries.
She does.
That's the problem.
I was thinking in the theater and I was there by myself and of course, but I was like, if I had someone next to me, if I had Matt sitting next to me, I'd be like, R.I.P. Keith. Yeah. It's just not happening. Sorry.
So she gets back to the main door and then she can hear just a faint. Help me.
Yeah. Which
and
seems like a fake, like
very
help,
much.
Help me.
Yes, a very fake, like luring her down and further. She finally
this
goes. This was one of the best jump scares I've seen in a long
this
time.
This is the one.
First, she finds like cages, which is always a red flag that are human size. Does she go past
dog crates, but like
they're
the
like,
large
but,
dog
but for big dogs, big so dogs. Like the one I had for Marshall.
Yeah, exactly. Does she go past the
human sized dog?
Yeah, that's right.
At some point, all humans are just about dog size.
Do she go past the purple room yet, or does she run into Keith?
She doesn't
before?
Go to the room. We find that with Justin Long.
Okay.
Finds the room.
So Keith all of a sudden appears out of the darkness, and he's like
crawling on the ground,
which is even like that was scary.
I thought it was
with.
A monster crawling. It was a great jump scare.
And he's like, "There's somebody else down here. There's something down here. We gotta go."
And he
she's
wants
like,
to go into the.
Yeah,
cave.
I don't know why he wants to.
Oh,
go
I think
that
he's
way.
Lost his sense of direction.
For sure.
It's dark. He's been in there for a little bit now, and he's panicked.
Right.
That's the great red herring, too. Right. He's like, "No, this way," but he really is.
And out of this is such a such a brilliantly formed shot.
Yeah.
Where you've got Keith on the ground, and I think it's from, are we behind Tess? Is the camera behind Tess?
I think so. And you see out
and
of the darkness.
Out of the darkness comes this.
The real monster.
The real
of
monster
the
of this movie.
Yeah.
She looks like the woman from The Shining. She looks like the woman from The Shining
that,
is kind of how the
presentation. The woman from 237. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The woman grabs Keith by the head and just.
Oh.
I mean, smushes his head. I don't know how else to describe it against this wall.
It's a good way to.
And it's just. And it's cut in a way.
Well, remember
where
Orphan first kill last week? The security guard? I mean, it's pretty much.
I guess
the...
that's true. That's true. And just squishes his head. And then we see the monster grab Tess. And then it cuts to Justin Long.
Which is singing.
And we should also say she's naked. She's completely
who's
naked. The
monster. Yes.
She's literally like the woman from 237. Yeah. Like the appearance is similar, the naked, but very like this grotesque.
She's got very long limbs.
Long,
and
gross hair.
Very pale. Her teeth are all messed up. And then we cut to Justin Long singing like an 80s song, bopping
Donovan,
around.
Right? Ricky Tikki Tavi.
Oh, is that what it was? And he like.
Yes.
Justin,
I'm a musician.
That's why we had you.
You're
yeah,
a musician. That's what that is. Justin Long is one of those guys who
just saw him in Clerks 3.
Always plays a good dude. I don't remember him playing a bad guy often.
Did you not see Barbarian?
But he plays douches.
He does play douches.
Like,
that's true.
You know, I mean, like he was kind of douchey in Tusk.
Yeah. He was kind of douchey.
But that's
in
how
Tusk.
He gets into the wall.
That's
but
true.
That's probably. He's probably cast in that for a very similar reason, right?
Yes.
That he's to...
This I mean...
Like, I think
guy.
Of, like, Accepted, or I think of Waiting,
of
where he's kind of
Dodge
like the... The underdog.
Like, I think both of these roles, right, are, like, the sort of, like, we're gonna... It's against type.
Yeah.
Which is the same for, like, Bill Skarsgård
being
also,
the good guy.
Yeah, he's the sweetie.
But this movie reminded me of Tusk. That's I had to think
that's
about
a good,
it.
With, that's a good comparison.
With Justin Long in here, and you don't know exactly what type of movie you're getting into and the where it's going to go, it has a very similar trajectory and a very kind of similar route for his character, like to what's going to happen to this guy.
But does it?
I just
it
mean that
matter.
In a vague. Yeah, I was going to say a vague sense where you're
turn
like,
into a walrus in this one. I'll tell you
no, Joe, that would be very oddly similar.
Yeah, you're talking, if I'm Kevin Smith, I'm suing somebody.
That his character has absolute redemption by the end of the film. Is what you're saying?
If you would have turned into a walrus, we'd be getting there. But
so
he's singing along, and you don't expect
everything's good. His life is good, right? And then he gets a phone call.
He's in L.A. with his convertible. Clearly, he's doing all right.
He's doing all right. He gets a phone call that he is being accused of a sexual assault on a co-star, right? It was a co-star?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's his television pilot that he created got picked up, and the people on the phone, like HR and an agent or whatever, basically
like,
said,
"You're out.
If this moves forward, if we can't see it moving forward with you."
Right. And, you know, he's, of course, like adamant that he didn't do anything. He didn't do it. You know, the typical scumbag. Nope, not me.
Which, oh man, I think it's very well written. And when you get further in,
oh, you're
when
like,
he's going to the bar.
When he goes to the bar.
Oh man, when you're like,
yeah,
because
you spend a good 20 minutes wondering, because Justin Long is likable. So you spend a good 20 minutes wondering, like, is this trumped up?
And the way he's playing it, right? Like, he's like, I cannot believe this is happening.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about?
And it really makes you think about, you know, and he says there's two sides to every story. But you're like, oh man, your perspective is off here, buddy.
Right. Oh, for sure. So
but
he,
that, but like he,
friend in the bar, that's a director cameo there.
Oh, is that right?
Who is that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
okay.
The director.
Okay. Cool.
Director,
that's awesome.
You know who his voice sounded like? Did you guys watch
Mike Burkholz?
Yeah, I thought that was him. So, did you guys watch the show Gravity Falls?
Yeah.
The creator of that, who does Grunkle Stan, and I'm just blanking on his name, but the voice sound very similar to the creator of Gravity Falls. And so I thought it was him and it wasn't in the credits.
That's,
I didn't realize
it was
show. It was a great show. Fantastic. Great animated show.
So he realizes, Justin Long realizes he is in trouble. So he goes to his finance guy. He's like, look, what have I got in the bank? What's this going to cost me? He's like,
$140,000.
And he's like, yeah, that's going to clear you out
in 3 months.
And by the way, you're fired.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. He's
and I was like,
him.
Oh dang. Like, you know, so he realizes he's got some property in Detroit. So he I like this a lot where he goes to Detroit. He's talking to, I assume, his lawyer, and his lawyer's like, wait, did you say you just landed in Michigan? And he was like, yeah, why? He's like, you can't leave the state. And he goes, it's not like I'm getting arrested. And there's a pause.
Yeah.
And he goes, am I getting arrested? And he goes like,
it's
you,
a very distinct
you
possibility.
Might want to come back to the California. So this is where we find out that the person who owns this house is Justin Long.
Yeah.
And he gets the, and you know, he's, gets there and he calls his buddy, and of course he uses a term that should also kind of give you an idea of kind of the scumbaggery
well,
that
well,
he
we
is.
Well, we first say though that he shows up and he sees all the signs that people are staying in his Airbnb.
Oh, sure.
All their stuff from, you know, our two victims that are now in the horror basement that we don't know what exactly is going on with the time jump, but we see all their stuff and he's calling the property and saying, and they're like, yeah, no one's been there in a couple weeks and the cleaning people haven't been there, you know, and we get that funny conversation where he's like, why would you clean then? Why don't you just do it? It's so stupid. And they hang up on him. They clearly know the trouble he's in. And I think they're like, we don't care if you are our client anymore or not. They hang up on him. And then he then calls the friend.
That is the one thing I did want to mention is when they reveal that this place has been double booked, you think it's like some nefarious thing to get people there. But really, it's just two people booking off two different
apps didn't network properly.
That's what I was thinking. Like, okay, that was, I mean, that's even better. That leads to the misdirects, right?
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, I'm like, does Skarsgård own the property? You know, I'm trying to think, did he, the booking is fake on his end and he has all the fake stuff and knew someone would show up?
Yeah.
Or I thought maybe she did, because I'm thinking, is she the bad guy, right? So I'm trying to think what the thing is, but you're right. It's a pure coincidence.
Pure coincidence. That's all. So he goes into the house, he calls his buddy, and they go out, and this is where
he says,
like,
the F word when he calls him up. Yeah. So you're like, so that's your first clue to, oh,
you're
Mr.
Kind of
Innocent
scumbag.
Here is probably not.
And he basically
lied to his mom.
That's the thing.
He said it was a business call.
That's true. It was.
Well, and she said, come home to Detroit. We miss you. He's in Detroit.
Yeah, right.
It's what a skeezy.
Yeah. Worst thing he did the whole dang movie.
Don't lie to your mom.
That's the worst thing that he did?
Yeah.
Made him a monster, if you ask me.
Would you call him, would you go as far as to say he was a barbarian?
Certainly being barbaric.
Right. Well, we'll see by the end if we think he...
he's something by the end.
So he's telling the whole story at the bar, because the friend says, tell me what happened. I've read the trades, all this, but
so
like...
So this is where I thought the friend was going to dime on him.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like, just tell me what really happened.
Oh, okay.
And he gives him the real story, and I was expecting there to be another Hollywood Reporter article the next day where he's like, by the way, this is exactly what he said to me.
But this is really good. The way they play this is Justin Long is telling the true story now. This is the first time we've actually heard the events, and he's like... Well, no, it was consensual. Well, it took a little bit to get, you know.
She said no at first.
And she did, but she wanted it. And then you're like, oh, nobody.
That's those three words are all it takes to be like, nope. Yeah. That's your.
As soon as he answers the phone to his friend, like
that's also true.
You just instantly like, okay,
all right.
No matter what else you tell me, I know
that's
what
who this guy is. Yeah.
And then when he comes home, and I do like the way the lawyer's like, do not contact her. And what's the first thing he does? When he gets drunk.
Calls and apologizes.
Calls and apologizes.
On the voicemail. So yeah. She's got it.
It's just double. So this is, does he go, he passes out.
It's the most cringy answering machine message since Swingers.
Oh, wow. Well done.
Yeah.
That's a big old pullback. That's pretty good. So he passes out, wakes up the next morning, goes into the basement because the door is propped open, right? Because Tess was like, I'm not getting locked in here again.
Well, he clears that out when he gets there the first time because he's like, what the hell is going
on?
Right,
that's right.
But he does go down there for something. Either way.
He gets it. He
sees the rope. What the?
He starts pulling the rope. Now he goes deeper into the basement.
Well, this is great. Okay. He's trying to sell. This is very funny.
Oh,
yeah,
this is
very
this,
funny. I was cracking up.
Laughing.
This is a good. This is what you would call like a let me up moment.
Yeah.
Where
he's
it's
trying
like, it's
to
a little bit of levity.
He's there to sell this property so that he can, you know, go for a little, pay his legal bills and all that stuff. And he sees the murder dungeon. And what does he do? He doesn't get freaked out. He doesn't get nervous, but he's like, extra square footage.
He's looking up on his phone, like, do basements count as square footage?
He's using the ruler, going right past the crap bucket and the video camera on the old bed where it's a hot. Like, he's so clueless.
He sits on the bed, he's like, oh,
like
God,
whistling
gross.
And measuring, yeah, right. And it's just like, it's hilarious how naive he is and you know, the kind of person he is.
And how selfish.
Exactly.
So he goes deeper into the basement and
he goes to see the stairs down to the
and he's like,
passengers. Ooh. And he goes, oh my God, more.
Like, he like hooks, you know,
it's nice. It's like a good, like, whatever filmmaking thing too. That, cause when he sees the basement, you're thinking kind of like, now I got to watch again. Somebody like be scared inch their way in and just basically see a repeat of Tess finding the basement.
It was a great way to get
and
a
then
different
to reframe it is bravo.
And
was,
good levity, it was, like it you said, because now we're getting a little bit of humor right before stuff's going to go south.
And this is, I appreciate when a movie does this, is they kind of save all of the craziness. They give you a little bit of it here, a little bit of it here, but then when you're just like, okay, we've got 30 minutes left.
Yeah.
Let's roll.
And when the tape measure gets yanked away, I had almost gotten to a point of like forgetting that it's a scary thing.
Right.
You know, I'm having a good time with this horrible guy.
Yeah, he's
like, he sucks, but like I could hang with him. Like, he's funny, dude. And then when it gets pulled away and you kind of go like, oh, that's right. Oh no.
There's something
scary
in there.
I mean, it is loud and it's dark and it is a jump scare. It's
scary
moment.
Well, it's a very
tape measures are scary anyway.
Right? Yeah. When it lets go of the camera or the corner. So he's measuring, but he sees this room where there's a video playing of a breastfeeding video.
But it's in like this weird purple hue, which it's also, you know, it's not like the murder room where it's just stark white, but it's just like this weird purple.
It's like the most home feeling, like the warmest that we've seen in the murder.
Oh, okay.
The murder dungeon.
Yeah, I don't think that was the murder room. I think that was the breeding room.
I think that's right. Or the feeding room.
I think the feeding room
or
is where
the
TV's
seating
at.
Room.
Hey,
yeah,
I see what you did there
with semen.
But there was no baster, so how would that have occurred?
Yeah.
But you're right, though. I mean, that's where the victims that the guy took were kept, and then.
But I don't think he. Okay, he didn't. He took one victim.
Oh, I think.
Oh, did you see the tapes?
No, he took way more.
Those were all his victims that he's been breeding with.
But
he's also. He's also impregnating some of them.
Much like revenue streams, you want to diversify
that's right.
with your victims.
And I will say, like, there's a moment. Okay, so we'll just get to
when
that
when you
part.
See the tapes, that's to tell you this guy's been at it for a long time.
A long time.
He's got
that's true. That's true.
Labeled a victim.
So
and they're and the way they're labeled, he's clearly they're he's finding them other places because I think one's like
gas station
girl.
One says puke girl, and I was like, I don't. Please don't turn that one on.
That's why they got the bucket. You.
That's probably true.
Which one did you want him to turn on?
None of them. None of them.
No man, not that one.
Not that one. The other one.
So anyway, the tape measure is disrupted by our so what do we want to call the
victim?
It's the mother in
the
credits.
Mother,
guys.
Is what
okay.
Is that what she's labeled as? The
that's what I want. Okay, the mother.
The mother. So she grabs Justin Long, and you're like, well, head squishy again.
Right.
Little do we know that's going to happen later, but.
You would wish.
Yeah.
I'd prefer the head squishing.
Yeah, compared to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they throws him in the nursery. That's exactly it. And this is the.
The nursery is a hole in the ground just for people.
with a cage over it. And we see that Tess is still alive. Yeah. And she's like,
and I thought she might have been gone.
I did too.
I thought there's a chance that we're just doing a different.
Yeah,
whole,
we're never
going to
see her
story.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I thought she may be kind of brainwashed or turned into.
She
I didn't know
is.
If there was a monster thing, like a real monster element
right.
to this. And I thought maybe she
like a
would.
Supernatural element.
Yeah, like she would turn into.
Or like how long? I mean, this could have been 6 months,
A
year
she say,
later.
I guess Blair Carr's still there, but she does say, like, I don't know how long I've been down.
I think it's 2 weeks.
The rental people say we were last
Okay.
2 weeks ago. Yeah. Otherwise, it would have been cleaned, so we knew they were the last renters.
So, she's mother like leans down through this, and it's just like at first it's just her hair, like
her,
coming through.
Some
the,
other things
the,
leaning
that
through
will
the
in
grate.
A second, yeah. And they she has this massive bottle that has the.
It looks
the
like
biggest
it's
nipple
70s
I've
or
ever
80s.
Seen in my life.
Yeah, it looks like the kind of baby bottle you'd see in a Looney Tunes.
That's exactly
it's like
right.
A 50s.
That is
type.
Exactly right. And she's trying to get Justin Long to take the bottle.
Oh, and the way she shakes it like forcefully, it is
wet,
very
hairs.
Yeah,
yeah, it's, in it, yeah, it's.
And then I do like how Tess is like, okay.
Do it.
Yeah, let's like
she just wants
it.
To feed you.
Right. Yeah. Just take the
she's
take
like
the milk.
This is the best worst option available to you.
And she puts it to her and she starts drinking
and
it.
And
like,
I do actually what I appreciate is that Tess doesn't skip a beat.
Yeah.
No.
She's like, done.
She's
I got it covered.
She's been there for
but
2 weeks,
also,
Joe. She's figured
but
it out.
But I do also like that she kind of like leans back against the wall and she's like, yeah. So it's not like she's brainwashed.
It's
she's like, this is nasty.
It's breast milk.
That's exactly
what
it is.
They're not getting that from the store.
No, they're not.
And there's no refrigeration in the murder dungeon.
Also,
so
there's not.
You figure out.
Right.
Because we know when he goes into that room with the rancid smell that he smells.
So mother pulls the grate up and takes Justin Long
out. Oh, the way she jumps down there. And
I thought it's like, and I don't know if this is, any of this is practical. Mm-hmm. I didn't. If it's not, like,
I don't think this is a practical way to go about this.
That's probably very true.
There's got to be a better way.
There
to
has to
breastfeed.
Be, right? There has to be. But if it's not, it's pretty well done CG. I mean, I think that when we see her face,
I think she looks
like,
practical.
Up close,
I think it's a
practical. I thought so too, but I was like, maybe, I don't know. Yeah.
But they do a really good job
what?
With
this. This is actually a man.
Yeah.
The person playing mother is a man.
You know
Matthew
who
Patrick Davis.
Okay.
I was going to say, you know who this would usually be? Would be like
Doug Jones. Doug,
you knew exactly. Because I'm like, that's what the build, the thin build.
I was wondering for a bit if they were having the guy who plays Frank play the mother.
Sure.
Like, because since they're supposed to be, and they say later, a copy of a copy of a copy. Yeah. Like, he's been breeding. Like, did his genes kind of dominate?
And he's a tall,
he
thin
is a,
guy.
Richard
so
Drake is a tall,
a,
like, tall, spindly dude.
Could fit in that lanky, because mother looks like he has a large, lanky look to her.
Right. So she takes Justin Long out, and this is where Tessa realizes.
Real quick, my guess is this is practical, because this movie has a $10 million budget.
Fantastic.
Looks
so
good.
Like,
good for them.
It looks great for $10 million,
yeah.
But I just don't think that they spent anything on.
That's probably true.
They probably spent $8 getting that Donovan song.
Yeah.
that's our budget.
Yeah.
Justin,
well, we find
you get
out,
25 grand.
Tessa knows if you don't take the bottle, you take it from
you
the boob.
You take the boob.
Yeah.
So
I'd be rejecting that bottle all day.
And that's the difference between us and you,
Matt. We don't kink shame.
Hey,
heck no, you do you. But I do like that Tessa, they realize
when life gives you lemons, man. You know?
Suck it.
Trademark real spoilers, that's what that
was. No, put it on a t-shirt.
Hey, we know somebody that makes t-shirts.
Who?
Well, who would, I mean.
We know a musician and a t-shirt maker.
God. And he won't do either for us.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Well.
But
so this is one
so
of
she,
the.
So she leave, mother leaves the grate open, and I do like where Tessa's looking at it, and I was like, well, there's, and it must just be the way it's filmed, but I was like, there's no way she's going to get up. That's, she's way too high. But she plants her feet on the wall and pushes off the wall.
She throws something up there to try to get up. She does throw something up at the. She throws a sheet or something.
That's
at first.
Not true. This
no.
is a lie.
It's, yeah, she
this
she
never
like,
happens.
She plants her foot on the wall and pushes off
yeah,
the wall.
It's fine. She gets out.
Stop gaslighting us, Kevin.
She there's a ladder in the corner. Oh no, there's a tube that
there's
she puts
escalator.
A rope up.
It's like, oh my god,
just perfectly goes over.
I
the...
did like that movie, but man,
know,
that scene
just,
is that. No, you're right. That is ridiculous.
I can't even start talking about that movie because I like that movie too. I got a lot of thoughts about
I
that
know,
movie.
The rope.
So Tess takes off and she realizes that she can't leave. And this is just a testament to Tess's character.
Well, she gets out again, which is like the first time she got out of there and went back for Keith. And I'm like, nope. Oh my God. Now we know she's been abducted, stuck in there for 2 weeks. She's seen a guy murdered.
That's right.
And
that's
she's
right.
such a good person that she's. Ew.
Well, she goes to get the cops.
Well, she goes to get help, but it's
and I
not.
Do love that these cops are just like, any okay.
They think she's a
when
homeless
you look
person.
When you look at her right at this point, she's dirty, her hair's a mess, and she's like, "I've been kidnapped," and the cops are like, "Okay."
Which is a commentary. It shows you how the homeless are treated, and disregarded,
and a woman is treated,
and they think she's just another crazy person on the drugged up. They think she's
and she's not in a good neighborhood. We know that. We know that she's in a burned out neighborhood.
It checks out. Not that the police were doing a good job or were handling it properly, but it still checks out for the situation where you're like, yeah, I see how they probably deal with a lot of people that are on drugs and such. So even though they weren't nice about it, but like for them to not believe she was taken and in this, like,
and from a movie making perspective of like, we can't have the cops come.
No.
But we have to have her be smart enough to try things. Mm-hmm.
It's the Friday the 13th rule. Right? Like where you can't, they never contact any adults.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like there are these kids, they're like, what? Call the cops.
Yeah, you can't have adults that could interject.
And everybody's going to be saying it. Whoa, 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 she called the cops. And she does. And it's good enough to be like,
good.
She tried. That's what
else. And the cops blew her off.
It's believable in the circumstances. Again,
and
the cops aren't good, but they do.
They get a call for like a shooting or something.
Right. They have to move
an
on.
Immediate. Threat. They know there's. They say some at some point there's no
shots
cops around, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah. They do
that's
say that.
That's the weird
right.
thing. We don't have any officers now. You said there are issues with funding and whatever, but I was like, when she calls 911 and they say we have no officers.
Well, I think she's.
Do they really do that? Like, just say sorry. Like, you're not in immediate danger.
Well, you got to prioritize calls.
Yeah,
but I mean, they wouldn't say like, okay, they'll be there, but we don't have someone right now. Like, they would literally just be like, sorry. Let us know if anything else happens.
I mean, I've been put on hold.
I feel like they would have come.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, would they never come?
But it wouldn't have. Like, they were asking her, is the guy still there? Because this is when the.
Before she gets in. Yeah.
Fella ran up on her when she was coming inside.
Right.
And they were asking, like, is he out there now? And she's like, I can't see him. So I guess.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting. They were just like, we don't have anyone, and that's it.
Sorry.
But, okay.
Deal with it.
So anyway, so the cops leave and she breaks in to go get help. She breaks into the window, gets back in the house,
right?
Because her car keys are still in there from before she got captured, and she's just like, I gotta get him. Ooh, she gets in the car. Is this when
she's gonna leave? Yeah,
yeah,
she's gonna leave. But then
she backs out and points the car towards the house.
Because at one point, like she talks to that homeless dude, and he was like, she only comes out at night.
That was before. Yeah.
So she knows that she's coming out, but. There's a whole scene where she, like, the mother is, like, at the, which I thought was a terrifying scene as well, where mother is, like, at the lower window.
That's a great scare where you think mother's going to pull her back in.
She won't come.
Oh, yeah.
But the homeless guy grabs
her.
And then mother's swiping out the window.
That was great.
It's really
good. So mother, and yes, she's sitting in the car. Mother comes out and jumps on the car, and she rams the car into the
door. The Michael Myers moment.
Very much so.
Oh, she's dead.
Halloween H2O, just for the record.
Yeah, just leave her there.
Yes. She's dead.
She goes down to get AJ. Justin Long's character.
They come out, and of course.
Well, no, you're skipping. There's an important thing that happens here. He has the gun that Frank has killed himself.
We should say that.
Yeah,
because Frank
finds Frank.
I'm trying to speed this through.
Yeah,
but
but yes, Justin Long gets out of the area, and he goes deeper into. And just when you think Mother is going to attack him, she backs off.
She didn't want anywhere
near that room. So Justin Long goes in the room, and we find that Richard Brake is still alive.
Barely sitting in this bedridden.
Yeah, just sitting in this bed.
And he's about to throw up from the smell. Obviously, this guy hasn't showered. There's all this milk stuff around. And you see that's the walls of VHS tapes labeled with the victims.
Yeah.
And then he goes and reaches for a gun in his nightstand.
Well, what happened, Justin Long, is he's looking at the tapes and he was like, what the hell? And he puts one of them in. And of course, we're seeing what was happening in the murder room. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you're disgusting. You're insane. I'm calling the cops, blah, blah, blah. And then he grabs the gun and shoots himself.
He's going to point it at Justin Long, but he turns on himself and
And Frank kills himself. So Justin Long grabs that gun and he's walking back through and he can only see the silhouette. Yeah. And it also kind of goes to how much of a dumbass he is, because Tess looks nothing like Mother.
But in that situation,
she's standing in the light.
But I'm just saying I'm not going to start. In the situation he's in, when you're scared, he's on edge.
And he's not in a well-lit place. And
that's
so
fair.
It takes a while for your eyes to adjust.
I'm not going to jump in on the AJ defense, really.
I'm just saying, if they're for things about unbelievability, I'm like, if you're in this situation, which would be impossible for us to really get into, I could see how you'd mistakenly shoot her. It's just...
And it's not like a fatal wound, right? Like, we think that it could be because the way she's laying on the ground.
I thought now the guy who's in trouble is going to be in trouble for murdering someone. I thought that was a great way how they were kind of...
Not only are you facing a rape charge, because he's like, did she say that I raped her? And they were like, yes. He's like, oh my God.
But I thought this was kind of going to be justice. Like, I thought the movie was going to be over, but it's like, okay, he's going to try to weasel out of the first charge. But it's like, now explain why you shot this woman.
You've got a murder charge and a murder basement in the house that you own.
But he helps her out. She's hobbling out. The mother is gone.
Right.
And they head to the water tower where the homeless guy says to come stay.
Yes.
They go to stay with him.
Another one of my favorite lines of the movie is where the homeless guy says,
it's been 15 years and she's never come. Kool-Aid man, boom. Right? She Kool-Aid
man. So great. It was so great. And she rips his arm off.
And beats him with it.
And beats him to death with his own arm. Oh, I will give this movie credit, is as much as it is perfectly scary, it's also perfectly gory. They rip the arm off and she's beating this homeless dude with his own arm. And so both of our characters take off, and Justin Long just leaves her behind.
Oh, yeah.
And this is right after he had this whole moment of sort of self-reflection.
Right. He has the moment where you think he's going to somehow get a redemption.
Nope.
And the dude is just, he shows his true colors.
Right. So they're running up the water tower.
There's nowhere to go but up.
But up.
Well,
and Mother
say that's not a...
That's true. Yeah, right.
That's not symbolism or what.
Mother
is
quickly chasing them up this water tower. And this is where Justin Long drops the gun because he can't get it together.
She goes, quick, your gun. And he's like, oh, yeah. And he takes it out of his belt loop or whatever and fumbles it over the
butter fingers and throws it. And he goes, we've only got one chance to survive this.
Oh, my gosh.
And he throws Tess off the top of this wall. And he drags her. I can't believe they got a superhero pose in this movie.
This is maybe like truly my one
I did
issue.
Not like her jumping off. The way she jumped off the water tower, I did not like.
I did.
I know.
I thought that was
malignant,
funny. I thought
crazy.
That was cool.
This was
the idea, right, is that Tess goes off, the mother dives in a way to catch up.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that defies the laws of physics.
In the 2 seconds it would take, which if you were falling, it may seem like a lifetime, but in the literal 2 seconds to go from the top of the water tower down, for the mother to realize that, dive down, go under her, and pat her fall.
I took it as she grabbed her and turned.
Right.
But it's still just as ridiculous.
I pictured it as a cartoon.
You pictured it as Superman catching the, when he's waving at the thing when he's flying down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just a bummer, like in a movie that everything's so...
Checks out.
Planned out. Yeah.
Right.
And that this kind of thing is a little...
How else do you get Tess to survive, right?
That's
they were trying to figure out how do you get the sacrifice, because you now realize that the mother is willing to sacrifice herself because she is
almost as if she's a victim too.
Exactly. She has been born into this life, this terrible life. She's been abused. Her mother, whoever her mother was, has been abused, and she's not a monster.
No.
She's
not. Nope.
She is a victim. And so now you realize she just wants to be a mother.
Well, and she
wants her baby.
Is Joe's having a
Justin Long moment.
Justin Long moment. He's about to toss one of us off the water tower in a second.
I told wish you I hadn't lost all that weight now.
Told you not to install that water tower.
But yeah, so Justin Long runs down there, and of course Tess moves, and he's like, "Oh, thank God!"
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, you're alive. Oh. That's so great.
Oh, it worked. It worked to plan.
That's just like I planned. And in one of the most bonker scenes of this entire movie, Mother snaps up, takes her fingernails, and ooh, you watch her gouge out Justin Long's eyeballs.
You know what I was waiting for? Tess to grab the gun and shoot Mother and save him. But nope, they go with the murder.
They take it, and then in that process, tears his face open. But you never see, I will say, you see the goop come out of the eyeballs, but you never see, like, the viscera of his face being ripped apart. But you don't need to, because you put it all together.
They call that karma or poetic justice, I guess. I mean, he gets his. He gets his face legit torn open. He's not a good guy. He couldn't even get the redemption right.
No.
You know, he's goner.
So Mother realizes that. So Tess is kind of laying on the ground. Mother kind of, you know, is like being very sweet with her. And then
she's like, "My baby, are you okay?" And you realize that this person is just.
Yeah. And Tess is like, bang. Like, no, thank you. I want no part
of
this.
Which is a kindness, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, she doesn't. It's not cold the way that she does it. She's trying to defend herself, but you realize that Mother is. What does she say? Does she say baby or mama? And it's like, God, yeah, this person is a victim, and they've been tortured. Their whole life is a torture. And then bang, and credits.
And then it's just Tess walking down the road.
Is there a post credit or something? Because there's credits, not a mid credit. Did it flash back to her walking more? Or
she's walking like back to the house.
Okay,
but that's it.
Okay,
this is probably one of the most original horror flicks I've seen in a long time. It's insanely well done. I appreciate that the budget is only $10 million. Like, this is what I've been saying for year. Honestly, it's the Blumhouse model.
I was going to say
Blumhouse. I've heard him say.
Thank you. It's true. I mean, we do a podcast.
We've got a lot of episodes.
There's a lot of episodes. Yeah. That he said. Like 10. You don't need a $80 million horror movie. Like,
Did you hear people talking about it much before you?
There was a lot of talking, and I tried to avoid it as much as I could.
So I do wish. Man, I keep seeing people be like, "This movie's so crazy, like just insane," and I'm pretty good about not, like, letting expectations. But I did think, like, man, I guess it's going to be bonkers.
Did you think that they have not seen Malignant? Because Malignant's crazier than this movie. But it's crazier than this movie.
This is just, to me, nothing's, like, that out of the horror movie.
This is a horror movie.
It's just, really good. It's really well-made.
The bait and switch is the crazy part.
And it is cool, and it is original. I just feel like...
It's a little overhyped.
Like, people took the bait a little too much.
Yeah,
I agree, because I went in expecting something way crazier, and I was just again, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good, but it was
as people say it is, but it's not.
It's not a knock on it, but go in with tempered expectations. And I guess you're listening to this now, so now you can't. So I don't know what the point of this is,
but I think we have watched a lot of horror movies.
Oh,
right? You know,
they've watched them.
Am I wrong?
No,
Kevin.
Carry on.
Thank you.
So we let us have this.
A lot of musicals.
Gross.
Let me tell you about that.
But I think that, like, if this movie comes out in 1989,
it's
Pumpkinhead, right? Like, it's just this crazy
Tom.
You know,
Pumpkinhead.
Oh,
of course.
So I think
Lance Hendrickson,
Stan Winston
from Sandman.
Yes, correct. Pumpkinhead? Yes, that's it. No. Yes,
Wizard of Oz.
That's fantastic. No, not that one.
Oh,
but I think. For us, it's like, okay, this wasn't as crazy because we've seen
Charlie Brown
so much crazy.
Yes. I think you're right.
But I think, and this is a new generation that are not ready for.
And good for them.
Yeah. That's great. If you like this.
Is Joe gatekeeping
over
here?
Go watch Maniac Cop.
Now, do you guys think it would be nice if we could find a way? Now, I'm not pro inbreeding, but.
But you're not anti-inbreeding.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm an open-minded guy, and if we could
There's good people on both sides.
Thank you. If we could harness this super strength that comes with inbreeding.
Sure.
It's only a positive, right?
That's only a positive.
Not to mention the
well-endowedness.
Oh, the big...
Yeah. I was trying to
is this like... So is Charles...
in charge
super
of
strong?
Our days and our nights?
Are you talking about the dad, Frank?
The prince. Who's the king?
Oh my I'm sorry. God. I didn't know we were going into... Sorry, I didn't need a new graphic for a royal
think,
talk.
I don't... If so his hands are any indication...
I get where the logic is, right? Uh-huh. But my guess is no, just merely based on the size of his...
True.
Disproportionate.
And his sausage fingers.
Yeah. Maybe for minutes, their fingers. I don't know. It's just...
Just throwing it out there.
I got to ask. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. Is this movie offensive? Because, again, she's not a monster, and I know they're not trying to make that point, but, like, some people may, like, even Joe misspoke, I think, at first.
I knew what I said.
Okay. But, like, she's not a monster. She's a victim. Like, the reality of
but
it is.
She's still a scary element.
I get it from, like, I know that's what he was saying, but, yeah. like, that is in itself offensive because that's a victim of...
They probably will get some angry letters from...
I would not be surprised.
From inbred,
yeah.
forced breastfeeding women who are like, this is not representative of who we are.
Right. Please remove this.
My cages are so clean.
Yeah.
I think, truly, that this movie, like, it's commentary on, like, women and how men treat women. Mm-hmm. Because even all of them, even Keith, like, doesn't believe her. Like, woman,
yeah.
he is seeing this as, like, Tess is being hysterical. She's scared of something.
And the commentary that Tess says in the beginning, it was really, again, good writing. Because she says, if it were the other way around, if you were a guy and you said, hey, I booked this, I'm not letting you in.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
You know, but he doesn't even
see
it. She's
like, you let me in without even a second thought.
Yeah. He has no fear because he's a man. He's a woman. You know, I mean, it's just like... the perspective, the difference in the way that we think and the way that we operate.
I feel like this is like when people make movies about like social issues, a lot of times they seem to start almost too far. Did you get like,
I hear you.
And then the pendulum sort of swings back and you can make sort of more nuanced because like Justin Long's character, maybe 10 years ago would have just had to have been he's a barbarian. That's the point. But like, just a comically like,
right? Sure. He's just on a rape spree,
firing on every female that came through his, you know,
into
purview.
Now you can present it. I don't know if realistic is the word, but that, like
nuanced.
This is how it happened. This is what it looks like in real life, and this is what and his perspective. I think. Truly is that he didn't do anything wrong because he doesn't understand.
And that's the problem, right? When you present every character who's filling that role as this giant rape monster, it sends a signal that that's what it looks
right.
like.
And when a woman gets raped by a guy like Justin Long, not Justin Long, the character.
My God.
The character.
Right.
Then they might not recognize. Or they'll think, well, society will see me as being hysterical.
It's like... and promising young woman.
That is a great example. That is a great and because both like if you haven't seen that, highly recommend it.
And I think that's the problem as a society collectively we have is that someone can be both. And I don't say that to excuse the behavior, but that it's like, but to point out that we have used that to excuse the behavior. Yeah. And you need to get you need to recognize that just because someone's nice in one area doesn't mean they can't be awful in another.
Right, sure. Because there are excuses made for people that are talented a lot of times.
Yeah.
We see how
Bill
many
Cosby.
Second and third and fourth chances do they get where some are more easily excused because, but they're so talented or they've done so much good where it outweighs. But it's like, that's not how
he's
it,
nice to me.
Yeah.
People say that all the time.
I know. Like,
he's always been cool to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I appreciate
it. It is a movie that's written in a way where it does have a lot to say, and especially when you go into it just thinking it's a horror movie, like you don't know to expect all that. There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
And it's
handled
well.
I think when you want to talk about elevated horror, like I don't like that term, but I don't really know how else to describe it.
I don't think this is elevated horror though.
But if
it's really good, but I would agree.
But if
it's not art
what
house,
they call
that's true. Yeah. But if to me, like good horror is when you can throw all this crazy stuff at you, but still have this underlying message.
And you could watch it and not
see it at
even
all.
Know it?
Right. Yeah, totally. But when you're
people
looking for
people online were like, "Why was it called Barbarian?" And people answered, "Well, it's on Barbary Lane."
That's
it's about
not,
it's the
they
street.
Didn't say that.
They said that.
Oh my god!
And that was it. That was the end of it. That's why the movie was called Barbarian.
Yes.
And the Airbnb like anagram.
We should make a Dr. Seuss book it happened on Barbarian Lane and have it in the style of Dr. Seuss, but it's like that neighborhood.
Stop giving ideas.
God, why don't I keep saying it?
Dang it. But I think they certainly picked that name for a reason.
Oh, yeah. We think. Yes,
reasons.
We.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the sole reason.
No,
for the name
of the
movie,
right. I certainly.
No, we.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Come
but
on.
I will say the address is 476, which is the year that Rome fell.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Wait, the address had four numbers.
No, it had three numbers.
No, it's 476.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, weird. Just
was that an IMDb trivia fact? How did you pick up on you? Just
maybe Tom's just smart.
I'm old.
Okay.
I remember when Rome fell. It was in all the granite stones.
That's fine. I believe you. I'm just like that's such a weird fact where I'm like, did someone just mention that?
No. Nope. Okay. This is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah. No. It was
fun.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find
this. This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And Matt, where can they find you and your wares?
So interesting you bring that up.
We save it till the end because most people have tuned out by now.
Well, I was doing a... Are you guys familiar with the little show called Real Spoilers Patreon?
Oh, yeah.
I've never listened.
It's for the best. So good. So me and my friend Joe, we're on there and we'll talk about a horror series sometimes. And we were doing The Evil Dead.
Oh, there's a poll up for your next one, I think.
I haven't seen that. I looked for it. I didn't see it. But it's interesting that the poll is up because I was under the impression we were going to do the Evil Dead series.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I...
You watched all of it?
I feel like someone collectively decided you weren't covering it for some reason.
I threw the idea out there.
I watched the first season. I thought we'd talk about the first season first, so I watched the first season. And now it looks like we're not doing that.
I didn't say that.
You did. You did say that. You said we're done with the Evil Dead on the
last
orphan
one?
first kill, which was maybe her fifth kill, actually.
It could be six or seven. We're not
very
really sure.
Early in the film.
Thank you.
Really funny to me. First 15 minutes, they go, oh, and by the way, she's killed people before.
Right.
Yeah, you say, well, we're done with the Evil Dead. We're never going back.
We're never going back.
Touch it. Okay, hey, if you won't hear those words out of my mouth ever again. There's a poll up on the Patreon. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, somebody got sick.
And then he goes, and then he says, oh, Matt, 50% of this wanted to do something. He had an idea. Can you imagine the gall that he's even... breathe the words Hellraiser, and I'm listening.
Are you insane?
I'm listening to this mouth agape. I can't believe
we
this
have
is
it
happening.
On tape that you said Hellraiser.
I know I said Hellraiser. My issue is that you talking to me when we were talking.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool, Matt. Yeah, wow. I like your ideas and I appreciate your input.
Those
then
words never came
you
out of my
get
mouth.
The tone. Then you get on here with these fellas and you say, "Can you believe that idiot?"
Also, never said that.
It was implied.
Again, it's your tone. It's the way.
Wow, I'm so glad I had him
like
on this
talking
week
to my wife.
So I don't know. I mean, I think I'm still part of the Real Spoiler Patreon.
Of course you are.
I hope so.
Matt, Joe's passwords will be reset by the end of the week.
Okay. Well, so that's what I'm doing.
Okay. And they can find that where?
Patreon.com/Real Spoilers.
Okay.
Got it.
That makes sense. Yeah. Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers.
Any grievances you'd like to air before we go?
Festivus for the rest of us, I guess. Yeah.
Now, I'm in my 50s. I don't wait to air grievances. I just say them whenever I want.
I've been holding on to that.
I know. I'm so glad I had him on because I did not know that was going to happen. This was just a coincidence. Yeah. Like, for your health, I'm glad you were able to get that out.
And we captured it on video.
That's true.
Which is great. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Rocky and Diddy take the train to L.A.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.